Marco.
Just a wonderful shot from Mark Allen. That's his second shot. That's a beauty as well.
Marco Allen.
Oh, terrific shot from Mark Allen.
Mark Allen couldn't have pitched it any closer to the edge of the green. A beautiful shot. Super round of golf. Very mature performance. He does finish well.
Oh, I've just crashed, KB. I've just crashed.
Oh, jingo.
Well, whether it was the jingo that was heard around the globe as they played that audio worldwide when Marco crashed his car on a phone chat with the great KB, or talking golf every week, it's a compelling part of the program. And Marco, for Mercedes-Benz in Berwick, good morning to you, mate.
G'day, fine dog, and I speak to you with a little bit of Australian success overseas, which is great stuff. Scott Hend has won the Asian Tour Order of Merit. Well done to Scotty Hend. He's a European Tour player, though, really, these days. But the overnight sensation, Ferdinand, if there'll be people out there who might have seen it yesterday afternoon, but Sam Breslau winning the Hong Kong Open. The Hong Kong Open, you know, was always a big Asian tour event, and then it became part of the European Tour, which is a very, very, very smart thing to do. For him to win this Hong Kong Open overnight, doesn't matter who he beat, even though he beat some good ones. I mean, Rafa Cabrera-Bello did everything but win a tournament this year. For him to win the way he did, you know, the last hole at this golf course, you've got to hit it over the water. There's no way he was aiming where the ball finished. There's no way in the world. And I've read this morning that that is absolutely confirmed. It was a bit of a mishit. But for him to then roll in a little 10-footer to win a European Tour card, not for 2 years, 2 years after the next year finishes, it's a life-changing performance for a 38-year-old that not many people knew about.
If I put you on Mastermind, your special topic, Sam Breslau, and asked you 20 questions, how many would you get right?
I'd get two. I'd tell you that he's from New South Wales and that he's not very good.
That would be probably the only two questions. That would be the only two questions I could ask. But
yeah, well, that's fair enough too. I mean, he's an average player playing on the Asian circuit. I mean, he's played well enough to get into this tournament off the Asian Tour. His order of merit, and he's standing there on the Asian Tour. That is sensational. But it just shows me. See, this is the amazing thing. This is why I get so worked up. It shows me how much talent we have in our country. We only have 24 million people, and we've got so many more good golfers than that population warrants. So many. But they've got basically a dead end. You know, this is what's killing me. I'm reading the story this morning off the Golf Australia website, which runs the Australian Open. And it says next to the victory, Sam Breslau, life-changing. Now, you can ask every Australian player in this tournament, except for the guys who already have European Tour cards, which tournament would they rather win, the Hong Kong Open or the Australian Open? And they're all going to say the Hong Kong Open. And that makes no sense to me, Piney.
Yeah.
Does that make sense to you?
No, it doesn't. It really places into perspective the importance of exemptions and tours and co-sanctioned events, and how important it is to get our events, our main events, into some co-sanctioning. So the prize, he won $330,000 US, which is more
Euros, I think. Yeah,
okay. Oh, okay.
311,000 euros.
Yeah.
Incredible amount of money.
Which is, put it on the table in front of him, and that will be life-changing for him. Make no bones about it. But nowhere near as important to him, the professional golfer, as this 2.9-year exemption that he has on the European Tour at a stage of his life where he can still take advantage of it. 38 through to 40. That's okay. That'll be, if he can win this tournament 37, his powers won't diminish. So that's what he will covet, and we need to make sure our events are similarly loaded.
Well, I 100% agree. You're spot on. I mean, we've been doing a golf show together for God knows how long, so I'm glad we're aligned with that fact. But look, one day it's going to happen. One day, and hopefully not too far off, because it's not fair on our players here. I mean, who knows how many Sam Breslaus are out there? You know, who knows?
Well, Andrew Doth, who finished third, I'm not quite sure. I think, look,
He played well 2 weeks ago at the Australian PGA.
Yeah, that's right.
In the top three or four.
But he'd love 3 years where he doesn't need to worry about having a good season.
Yeah, well, that's right. Now, see, here's the thing. So hopefully he paid for his European Tour membership, because the money that he won here, 105,000 euros, plus the money he won at the Australian PGA, which is now a European Tour event, something around the order of 100,000 bucks. I mean, he's halfway to getting his European Tour card. But the same can't be said for our biggest event, the Australian Open. Now, I do some work for Golf Australia, and I know it's not that this new administration's fault. I know it's not. I mean, they've got to actually break some new ground now. So the current administration that are in there, it is now up to them. And they've got this great opportunity, because the CEO of the Professional Golfers Association, the PGA here in Australia, has stepped down. There's been this talk. His name was Brian Thorburn, by the way. And he did a great job. But there has been this talk of golf becoming under the one umbrella and just having everything here, Golf Australia, the amateurs, the state amateur associations, the state professional associations, and indeed Golf Australia, all under the one umbrella. Now, if they were sitting down today and looking at their tournaments going, how can we make this work so that we can get more players, many, many more players, and I'm talking 1,000% more players, either members of the US Tour or the European Tour. How can we do that? Well, the answer is very simple in my mind. You put all the state, Vic, and Vic PGA, and it's a Victorian Open. So all the state opens and all the state PGAs, you put them before Christmas, and you have a little tour. You have a little tour. Away you go. And then after Christmas, all of the tournaments that we have in our region, so I'm talking about the new New Zealand Open, the tournament that they have in Fiji. You have, if the Masters comes back, it's in Feb, it's in February. If the Australia, you know, everything moves to Feb or around February. So you play the little tournaments before Christmas. The top 30 are then exempt onto all of these European Tour tournaments. So they would pay their membership and away they go. And we would find people like Sam Brazel, Andrew Doat, and just the list will go on and on and on and on, and we will develop more star players. Not just players who are really good and can compete in our tournaments, but star players around the world. So, look, I think the first domino has been pushed over with the CEO of the PGA, Brian Thorburn, making weight. But this is just from me, from the outside looking in. So hopefully now Golf Australia takes control, and they have a master plan in place that will benefit all of our players, all of them, not just a few.
Betting news for professional golfers, male and female, has been a huge injection of funds, I believe, into the Victorian PGA.
Mm. Oh, yeah. Well, that's what happens. That's what happens. And did you see the news? Like, I mean, you know, if the tournament's run correctly, I mean, you see what happened with the Vic Open last week? The Vic Open they announced last week, Golf Victoria.
Oh, is it the Vic Open, sorry, not the Vic PGA. They're up to over a million.
Yeah, it's fantastic. So we've got the guys and the girls playing in the same week, alternate groups, and that is now up to $500,000 for both events. And the kicker is, next year, this is 2017, 2018 Vic Open, goes up to $650,000 for both events. So the state's behind it. Dan, the man's behind this one, which is fantastic. 13th Beach is a wonderful venue. But you would have that tournament as almost, you'd have the Vic Open, in my view, the last tournament that we have on that mini tour. That's the tour championship. And the top 30 players from then on, if we've got our ducks in a row and all of our European events are in February, then it's just a perfect scenario to develop our talent. You know when they're talking about the scheduling in cricket and it's all over the place?
Yep.
Their scheduling, cricket, makes golf scheduling look like it is, I don't know, some kind of, some kind of genius. that's how far behind our scheduling is in this country to benefit us. And believe me, I mean, it's not a click of the fingers by any imagination, but if you've got everybody in a room and you've got somebody who understands the state of play to look at all those associations in the eye, everyone, the Vicks, everybody, and say, listen, look at the talent that we have. Look what happens every once in a while with these guys popping up, winning big events. We need to get more players on the European Tour. And then the European Tour, if you play well, it's a pathway to getting on the US Tour. And if you looked at all those people in the eye in a room, I think you'd sell it. I'm sure you could sell it to them.
That's Mark. Now, Mark Allen, always for Mercedes-Benz in Berwick. Hey, you know, I was outside before. Yeah. Amazing car, the Mercedes-Benz. When it comes to a stop, does the engine turn off? Because this car, I realised, stopped, its engine turned off. It went to come out of the intersection, had to stop again. Yeah. On, off. Yeah. Amazing.
I've got a decent car. But my last car is this beautiful station wagon thing. I'm moving house. You wouldn't believe it's a shocking job. So they gave me a station wagon to help move my house. And it's magnificent. And it's diesel. I didn't even know it was diesel until I stopped to get some fuel. So that's how quiet they've become. And they do turn off. And I reckon I've had this car for 2 weeks and I still haven't filled it up. They just go forever.
I'll tell you this. If anybody's listening from Mercedes-Benz in Berwick, if Marco put petrol in his diesel car, that car's finished. It's over. You've ruined the engine.
I didn't even know, mate. I didn't even know. It took me 2 weeks to fill it up. It's incredible.
Cam in East Brighton's rung in, and you can do likewise. And he's got a fantastic question. Good morning to you, Cam.
Oh, g'day, guys. I watch a lot of golf, and I just want to know why the Sunshine Tour in South Africa has European status, but we can't get it.
I'll tell you why, Cam. I'll tell you why. Because they're very smart. And they lined up all their tournaments in January, and just before Christmas, they lined them all up with European Tour status. Now, Cam, listen to this. I've spoken on my little golf show with the boss of the European Tour and asked him the question, would you like our tournaments? And he said, my word, we would love your tournaments on our tour. So I've spoken with John Hogan as well. John Hogan knows. They take our tournaments in 1 second flat. 1 second flat. But unfortunately, Cam, there was this brain fade about 10 or 15 years ago where they tried to create their own tour. So they went with this One Asia rubbish. Now, One Asia, you know, there was already an Asian tour. And if you want to play in Asia, you know, any one of our players can go up and play in Asia, but they thought they'd try and start their own tour. Now, you know, seriously, we've got 24, I mean, at the time, I think we only had 22 million people. So we had 22 million people, and we figured we could start a tour that could compete with all of Europe and the might of the USA. I mean, come on. What were they thinking? And until this day, they're still aligned somehow, this One Asia rubbish. So, look, one day, Cam, fingers crossed, one day, Cam, it'll get done. But the South Africans, they seem to have won a lot more majors than us, don't they, in recent times, Cam, don't they? I wonder why.
Cam,
I wonder why.
The courses are nowhere near up to scratch as well.
Garbage. Yeah, absolute garbage. Absolute garbage. But you go back in the last 20 years and just count up how many majors South Africa have won versus how many majors we've won. And I'm telling you, that number is out of kilter with the talent that we have in this country. But unfortunately, we are not aligned enough with Europe.
I thought South African golfers were good because of how dangerous it was to hit into the rough in South Africa.
That's another reason, Friday. That's another reason.
I'm not going in there. No way. I've got the Discovery Channel. Cam, hang on to the line. We've just discovered that there are two Pataki hams waiting for you on the back of that call. The very fact that they've got a name for their tour, the Sunshine Tour, that it has a start and an end. We should be the Sunshine Tour. Of course, that name's gone. But we should have a tour that has a name and a defined period of existence.
That's it. Well, you know what happens? You have the Florida Swing. You have the West Coast Swing. You know, you have these little titles. You have the Sunshine Tour, which is the South African events. And, you know, they're a little tour onto their own. And they have their, you know, for the South Africans. Because most of them go back and play. You know, they've got the exemptions. You finish up high. You get your British Open status. We would be able to keep all that stuff here as well.
What could we call it?
Australasian Tour. So you could call it the Australasian Swing. All right, there you go. You call it the Australasian Swing. You've got New Zealand Open in there. You've got all of our tournaments, the tournament in Fiji, this sensational Perth tournament that is coming up. That's going to be sensational. But we've got to get the crown jewel. We've got to get the Australian Open involved as well. And they've all, like I said, I keep on saying this. I'll say it until it happens. We've got to get the Australian Open in February. Now, it's going to miss a year on the trophy. You know, it might go from 2019 to 2021. But it's a very small issue if you look long-term. If you don't look for that 1-2-year period, if you look long-term, so for the next 100 years, I mean, who cares about one little date missing off the trophy? Just get it done. Whoever's involved, Golf Australia, just get it done, for goodness sakes.
Can we not come up with something more catchy than the Australasian Tour? How about the G'day Tour?
0433981116.
Give us a great name.
For February. I'm not going to name it. If they're going to keep the tournaments where they are, forget about it. We're not going to name it. Call it the garbage swing. If we're going to keep it in November, December, call it the garbage swing. But if we're going to move it to February, where it lines up with all the other events on the European Tour, then, yeah, come up with a very cool name, and away we go.
Paul's in Berwick. Maybe he's from Mercedes-Benz Berwick, mate, desperately trying to teach you how to fill up your car with diesel. G'day, Paul.
Marco, just a quick question. I've got a little bit of an interest in Ash Hall because he's from the same club where I'm at, Berwick Montuna. Yeah. Besides the British Open, what else does he get? He gets
100,000. That's it. So this is the thing. I mean, Ashley Hall's a great case study here. He has played brilliantly in a lot of our tournaments and a lot of our big tournaments, like top five finishes all over the place. But unfortunately, when he's done that, those tournaments weren't aligned with the European Tour. So even though he came second, he lost to Jordan Spieth in a playoff, even though he did that, he's got nowhere to play next year based on what he won. In fact, here's the best bit. If he won the Australian Open, he's still got nowhere to play. If he actually made birdie on that last hole and won the Aussie Open, he's still got nowhere to play overseas, except for the One Asia Tour, which is almost defunct. So you can see what I'm saying here. It's great. We've got all this talent. We're nurturing it. But they can't go to the highest possible level because there's no pathway at the moment, unless you win, you know, one of our tournaments down here. Unless you win one of our tournaments down here in like the Australian PGA or one of those ones. But, you know, most of the players, because they're trying to get onto a European Tour event, they're trying to get on the European Tour or the US Tour, they're away at tour schools. And that's why we don't get the fields at that time of year. You're not going to get the fields in our tournaments. You know, it's just not going to happen in November, December. We're up against Thanksgiving, so the Americans, most of them won't come. And then you're up against the European Tour finale. So all the good European players aren't going to come. That's what I was saying before. It's a garbage date. It's a garbage date for this world at the moment, the world we live in with wraparound tours. And at some stage, they've got to tell us they're going to change it and line it up with Europe. Get it done in February. They've got to do it. They have to.
Marco, we've got to leave it there, but I want to run very quickly a board full of suggestions for the name of the tour, the Summer Tour, the Sunnyside Tour, the Swing Down Under. That's a bit tough because we've got the cycling race, the Tour Down Under. The Anzac Tour, the Surf and Turf Tour, the Southern Cross Tour, Aussie Hot Swings, Chasing Birdies, that's what somebody called, the Pacific Tour, or my favourite, the Australian and That Other Place Tour.
There you go.
New Zealand will love that.
The Australian and That Other Place, the Long White Cloud Tour.
Yeah, that I'll enjoy.
Yeah, I like it.
Great stuff, Marco.
Hey, Finey, thanks for letting me rant. I feel much better after that.
And on the first day of your holiday as well.
That's all right. No worries at all, mate.
No holiday if you're moving house. That's no picnic.
Nah, it's a rubbish job.
I've always had one bit of advice for people moving house.
Yeah, what's that?
Don't call me on the day you move your fridge or your couch because I'm not coming.
Good on you, buddy.
Good on you, mate.